Krishna's energy. And as soon as you see it's Krishna's energy, then also the Krishna that's seeing is there. Whereas when simultaneously is able to see Krishna and his energy, and then offer that energy in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada quotes this verse here, he refers to this verse, and manjana chavita bhakti valochanena santaksadagarhideshivalokayanti yam shama shundarama chitnivanas pavupam govindam adipurushamam tamahamajani. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable and memorable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So that's what we have to get if we want to actually see Krishna. We have to have our eyes tinged with the salve of love, prem anjana. It's Sanskrit word anjana, meaning ointment. It's interesting, there's an English word ungament. It's not so common, but it's there in the dictionary, ungament. You can see the etymological connection between angana and anjana. So we have to get this ungament, this ointment of loving God. We want to see Krishna. We cannot see with these unanointed eyes. We have to see with anointed eyes of loving God. So how do you apply this ointment? Where do you get it? You see, you get it out of the drugstore, what do they call them?
Pharmacy.
Yeah. You get it. Where is the pharmacy that dispenses this wonderful ointment of love of God? Actually, our Prabhupada, he was a pharmacist before. Now he's still a pharmacist. The ISKCON pharmacies. We have only one drug here, this one, you see, and that is the prem anjana, the ointment of love of God. So, how do you apply the ointment? Now we know where to get it. Prabhupada's pharmacy is kind of dispensing this ointment. So how do you apply it? You take a little tube and you put it in your eyes, or how do you get it in your eyes? Well, this ointment is a very interesting ointment. It's applied through the ears. Very interesting ointment. How many ointments are applied through the ears? This is a very, very special mystical ointment. It's applied through the ears. You have to hear in a certain way. You can't hear in a challenging mood like, what in the hell are they talking about anyway? No. You have to hear submissively. Oh, let me. This is Krishna consciousness. This is the teachings of Krishna. Let me take it deeply, deeply into my heart. You see, these words of Krishna consciousness. So, by hearing submissively the words of Krishna, the words about Krishna, you see, take them deeply, deeply into your heart, then the magic happens. Your eyes become transformed. Prabhupada challenged me when I was a young brahmachari. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So that's quite a challenge for someone gross materialist like myself. But Prabhupada is pushing us. We become qualified to see Krishna. So it really boils down to how do we hear? What is our quality of hearing? So we have to be very, very conscious in this. The art of hearing is essential for a devotee. It's the whole foundation, the whole process. Prabhupada himself said that was what empowered him to be a preacher, was by hearing, qualitative hearing. Being a businessman, a very busy businessman with a family and so many things to do, he was not often able to get the association of his spiritual master. But on one occasion, he took the opportunity, he took a little break from his business. Guru Maharaj Bhakti Siddhanta was doing the Vrajmandal Parikrama. In different places they were staying, and there would be different lectures in different places. So in the evening time, of course in Vrindavan, you know, in the evening everyone goes to the temples. So that was what most of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples did. They would go to the temple because they couldn't follow what Guru Maharaj was talking about. This materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat. They couldn't follow what he was talking about. Especially he was talking in English also, not in Bengali. So only a very few people, a few sannyasis. Everyone would go for darshan except for a few sannyasis and one pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad, Bhai Charandev. He said, I would understand and I would not understand, but still I would go on hearing. And just like in ISKCON, for Diksha, you get recommended by local authority. So the devotees in Allahabad, they recommended, Guru Maharaj, would you like to recommend this to Bhai Charandev for Diksha? He said, oh yes. The others go away, but he stays and he hears. Therefore, I'll accept him as my disciple. So this is how Prabhupada became accepted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Guru, my quality hearing. And then Prabhupada said, because I heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So you want to know the secret of how to become ecstatic in Krishna consciousness, how to actually get beyond the mode of material nature and enter into that sublime realm called Krishna consciousness, then just try to master this art of hearing. Doesn't matter who's speaking. It can be any devotee, Guru Maharaj, the president, a visiting preacher, one of the brahmacharis, one of the householders. It doesn't matter who's speaking. That doesn't matter. But whoever is speaking according to the teachings of our parampara, who's giving that message of the parampara, you see, I should be very eager to hear and take deeply, deeply, deeply into my heart those words coming from their mouth, you see. That actually qualifies us to become fixed in that sublime, very rare state of consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is that higher taste. Vishayavani Vartante Nirahara Rashi Dehina Rasha Rasham Rishokyasha Parangvishvani Vartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So again, that higher taste comes by hearing. It all comes down to hearing. If you hear very nicely, then you'll get a higher taste. And many times people say, well, how do I get free from sex desire? I'm so disturbed by sex desire. Quality hearing. Because if you hear qualitatively, Krishna becomes manifest. Actually, Krishna and the topics of Krishna are one and the same. The Hare Krishna mantra, the explaining the teachings of Krishna, Krishna is fully manifest. It's called Nama Avatar. Krishna is fully manifest in when his glories are being vibrated by kirtan or by lectures. Krishna is fully manifest in that sound vibration. So, to the extent that we have faith in that, we deeply absorb ourselves in that, we actually get a taste which is so sublime. We get to directly associate with the Supreme Personality of God in Himself. Some may say, but I heard it was the only indirectly associated with Krishna. Well, Prabhupada says it's simultaneous. In the Bhagavad Gita purport, he explains it's simultaneously direct and indirect. Indirect means the recipient succession. I serve my spiritual master, I offer service to him, he serves his Guru Maharaj, he serves his Guru Maharaj, and the service finally goes to Krishna. So it is indirect on the one hand, and the other hand is direct. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
We are directly connecting with Krishna. Chanting our japa, that's our own private meeting with Krishna every day. If someone said, here's a ticket, and there's a Vaikuntha for a Vaikuntha airplane ride to Goloka Vrindavan. It's waiting for you out there by the fountain. Just head on out to the fountain. The Vaikuntha airplane has come to pick you up and take you to Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna wants to meet with you right now. And Radharani wants to meet with you right now in Goloka. Just get on the airplane, and you'll be, within no time, you'll be in Goloka Vrindavan. Would you be interested? Sure. Well, that's our japa, is that?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So you just have to realize the gifts that Srila Prabhupada has already blessed us with. We have to just capitalize on these gifts. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to change ashrams. You don't have to change your occupation. You just have to learn how to hear Krishna's name with full absorption. And then the magic happens. You're transported to the transcendental realm beyond birth and death. That part of Yama, that spiritual sky, is fully packed up within the Hare Krishna mantra and within the teachings of Krishna. We just have to learn how to humble ourselves, get off our high horses, our false egos, and just go deep, 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 deep into Smaranam, to Shravanam, which leads to Smaranam, absorption in thoughts of Krishna. So maybe there's some questions now, I can try to answer them. Any questions? Questions? Amen. Bring the questions to me. Okay. Can you please speak a few words about the glories of Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu? Wow. Their glories are absolutely unlimited. By their mercy, that which is not easily accessible now has become available for everyone. By the mercy of these wonderful lords, that which is impossible, practically impossible for us fallen Kali Yugites to achieve, we can easily achieve it. To me, you appear as if exhibiting Shiva Sattva. Well, maybe I'm a good actor, I don't know. I'm not there yet. Because your face is glowing, you look so cute. Come on. Maybe I should give you a friend. Like a child, can you please tell your experience? Vajra Tamaguna, passion, ignorance, even slightest, and how you overcome it when you're awake. I have to deal with it all the time. I mean, I'm lazy and crazy. I got all kinds of bad qualities. I just have to keep beating it down. It's like some demon always trying to constantly fight my lower nature, and remind myself who is my spiritual master, the gift he has given me. And see, I'm actually a very contaminated person. I come from a very degraded background called the hippie culture. We were completely breaking every principle in the book. We became habituated to that. So I had to really fight with that, that nature which was there before. I had to work hard. I get up every morning for Mangalarti. I've been coming to Mangalarti for 45 years every day. Those things help. By steady sadhana, it helps. You get a control over your mind by coming to Mangalarti every day. By being steady and following the rules and regulations, that's the key. Good sadhana is the key. Okay. first time you arrived in Vrindavan. I went through a lot of pain and separation back in the old days, because when all the devotees went to the Vrindavan and Mayapur festivals during Prabhupada's time, they always had me stay back. I wasn't a big collector, that's why. Big collectors get to go. And I was a campus preacher. I was making devotees, but I wasn't making money. So I always had to stay back. It was like I was hankering so much. When will that day come I can go to Vrindavan and Mayapur? Finally, in 1980, I got the chance to go. Actually, there was a contest. Tamal Krishna was at a contest that we had gotten a farm called, and he said, whoever can pick the name for the farm, they always send them to Vrindavan and Mayapur. So everyone is trying hard to come up with a name so they could get a free ticket to Vrindavan and Mayapur. And the winner was Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He liked his name the best, so he got to go. But I was running his tape ministry, and I saw a lot of his lectures, so I got to go also from the tape ministry. They were generating enough income and selling tons of his lectures. So it was just a wonderful experience. I've been for years and years, I've been hankering. Well, I go to Vrindavan. I was hearing about it from the devotees, Vrindavan and Mayapur. I couldn't get to go. The pain of separation was getting so intense. I finally got there. It was like an explosion of ecstasy. It was a very, very powerful emotional experience for me going to Vrindavan and Mayapur. Very powerful. In fact, when I came back, I was just feeling pangs of separation. It was very, very intense. So sometimes being separated from something is very, very good. If something is too easy, you take it cheaply. So that was my experience of being denied for so many years, going there, and I finally got the chance. It was like completely overwhelming. Just totally overwhelming. I've been tasting so much bliss, I couldn't believe it. Why Krishna is killing demons? Because they are rascals. Actually, that's Krishna's special mercy. Not an ordinary demon can be killed by Krishna. There's two ways to be liberated. You can surrender to Krishna, or you become a big enough demon that Krishna will personally kill you. Why people are in this material world? Because they wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. Let's see. How to remind our minds regularly to control our urges? There's a very nice verse in our Upadeshamrita, Vaksha Vegam Manasa Prabhda Vegam Jiva Vegam Vibharopastha Vegam Itanvaham Yovisha Hita Deva Savama Vimam Pratishim Shishishya. When you can conquer mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals to make disciples all over the world. So we have a desire, isn't it, to make the world Krishna conscious? We can't stand to see a world where they're murdering 66,000 babies every day, and 156 million innocent animals are killed every day. Can you imagine the karma coming down to this human society? 66,000 babies murdered every day. It's heavy. Karma is coming. So if we have any compassion at all, we want to do something about it. To turn the tide of the times. So the ability we can conquer these urges, to that extent, we will actually be empowered for turning the tide of times back towards dharma, away from dharma. How to understand who is a pure Vaishnava? Read the books, read Prabhupada's books. It's described in great detail. The nectar of devotion. What are the qualities that he should have that we can call him a pure Vaishnava? No material desires. His only desire is to serve Guru and Krishna. We can never repay of our temple management, especially our president, Aniruddha Prabhu Ki Jai, and also to all our sannyasis and maharajas, also you. What can we do individually to serve all of them? Just become a pure devotee. Become totally dedicated to Krishna and Prabhupada and the mission. It's like Prabhupada's, his instruction would be make the Melbourne Center a grand success. Work cooperatively with Adi Guru Prabhu to make this the most amazing revolutionary center that can attract the whole Australia to Krishna consciousness. And that way you should be meditating and endeavoring. What do you give guidance to a newly married devotee? Well, the most important thing is don't have sex for recreation. Sex is only for procreation, Prabhupada clearly states. If you fall down to illicit sex, it just makes the whole thing so frustrated. Use sex only for procreation and work together as a team to help each other become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. What to do with a frustrated mind? Turn your frustrated mind into a static mind by always chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I used to hear the rapt attention and enjoy it greatly. However, due to disturbing material situations, the quality of chanting and hearing is greatly reduced. Well, you weren't hearing with that much rapt attention. If you had been hearing with fully rapt attention, the material disturbances would not disturb you. This means that your rapt attention is not as rapt as you may think it was. So, you just have to pray. This is what I do all the time. I'm just begging Krishna, because I know I'm a very fallen, contaminated person. I'm just begging, please let me become a pure devotee. Please help me, my devotees. So if you're constantly begging Krishna, please, my Lord, help me absorb myself in the sound vibration of your name. If you beg Krishna like this, Krishna will be very happy to reciprocate with that. Why do we only pray to the Srinidev in the temple? Oh, wait a minute. We're praying to Krishna also, not just the Srinidev. This is not correct. In Sringadeva, the Sringa mantras were introduced when there was some attack by demons on our temple. And so it's special protection Lord Sringadeva gives to the devotees. But we're praying to Krishna, singing the Hare Krishna mantra, we're praying to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the Panchatattva, not just the Lord Sringadeva. How to get seriousness? From my birth, I've been conditioned to be frivolous, carefree. So getting serious is, and anything doesn't come naturally to me. Well, just understand, the more you become serious, the more you can actually realize the bliss of Krishna consciousness. If it's like a frivolous thing, you won't really taste the bliss. You want to go deep, deep, deep into the ocean of nectar. You have to become serious. Serious but jolly. The more you're serious, the more you become jolly. The more you're frivolous, the more you become feverish in your consciousness. Frivolousness doesn't satisfy the self. It may satisfy the false ego temporarily, but it won't satisfy the self. How to balance material and spiritual? Prioritize spiritual and you'll be in good shape. How to overcome laziness to attend the morning program? Prabhupada said, if you miss Mandalarti, you have to fast until you distribute a Krishna book. So, if you follow that and you adopt that rule, that will help you get up from Mandalarti. I frequently hear in the temple, dust of the lotus feet. What is the significance of the dust of the lotus feet? That's the most unlimited mercy you can ever get, to get the dust from the lotus feet of Guru, Vaishnavas and Krishna. That's the greatest mercy, the most powerful mercy is there in the dust of the lotus feet. For young devotees, is it recommended to stay in the city and preach, or is it all right to stay in Vrindavan, Mayapur, and preach to the tourists? Talk to your temple president, talk to your spiritual master, and we do have devotees staying in Vrindavan, but for the most part, Vrindavan means a place where we go to get our spiritual batteries recharged. I go to Vrindavan twice a year, but I relish being outside of Vrindavan also. Vrindavan is actually wherever you're worshipping Krishna. Krishna is, that Vrindavan becomes manifest right here in Melbourne. You see? If you have that mood of surrender to Krishna, then Vrindavan manifests. You find yourself in Vrindavan right here. You don't need to go to Vrindavan to be in Vrindavan. Just work cooperatively with your devotee, the leadership here, and you'll be in Vrindavan automatically. Sometimes some devotees' instructions seem that actually these things they are doing and trying to impose on us, which will not help us actually in Krishna consciousness. Well, it could be your misperception. You may think, well, I'm being asked to do this and this is not good for my Krishna consciousness. Well, you have to make sure you're really, you talk to Aniruddha or a senior devotee, maybe you're misperceiving the whole thing. Is it just your material attachments getting in the way? If marriage is only for recreation, how do you develop feelings for your partner? Well, my wife and I have never had even tried to procreate, even strict brahmacharis, and I have very strong feelings for my wife. Not that I have to have sex with my wife to have feelings for my wife. That's a ridiculous conception. You can't love someone unless you have sex with them. I mean, this is material, some material idea. Actually, the more you become free from sex desire, the more you can actually love someone as a spirit soul. Is it? Is chocolate bona fide? Well, Prabhupada gave a concession to Dhananjaya Prabhu, and when he opened the MBT restaurant, he included chocolate pie in the menu. I mean, they still have it there, but Prabhupada actually in many places said no. So you say, well, there's a concession for Dhananjaya, so I guess it's okay. Well, Prabhupada also said it's better not to take advantage of concessions. So you can make your own judgment. And you might eat chocolate or not. I personally don't. Because I know that I have a tendency to enjoy, and that tendency is keeping me in this frivolous, feverish condition of material consciousness. Therefore, I'm trying to be very serious and careful so I can actually awaken pure love of God within my heart. I'd rather have pure love of God than chocolate pie any day. Many times upon the request, when I reply that you are my initiating spiritual master, the devotee straightway asks about His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. Pastimes, especially his last decision, drowning himself in the Ganges. A positive reply, I don't know, I know he was he's an exalted devotee, especially under the Kirtan leader, and then I changed the tone. Did all right to say, it's not necessarily know these things, but just, yeah, it's not, Prabhupada, there was a conversation between Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Prabhupada was of the opinion that he had committed suicide. But Prabhupada very much appreciated it at the same time. So we can learn from that mistake, that even if you have some fall down, you shouldn't end your life. It'd be very embarrassing to have a fall down, but actually we should always cultivate humility and realize I'm just a fallen soul begging for the mercy. If I'm too attached to some prestige, and I lose my prestige by falling down, I may want to end my life, but that means I'm taking prestige as more important than Krishna consciousness. You see? So we can learn from that mistake. One should never take prestige as more important than pure love of God. Better to be an honest, fallen soul than trying to make a show of being an advanced devotee and not being able to maintain it. If we are souls, then who is Krishna? Krishna is the supreme soul. Fluctuating mood. It continuously goes up and down. Yo-yo consciousness. Or the like the merry-go-round, up and down, and around and around. Sukka-dukka, 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 sukka-dukka. How do you get off of this sukka-dukka platform between being blissful and being miserable? Well, you have to cultivate transcendental happiness. Now, the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. The mode of goodness is poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. The transcendental position is nectar in the beginning and nectar in the end. So that's what we have to go for. We have to cultivate the mode of goodness very seriously. The qualities of a Brahmana given in the Bhagavad Gita. Samadhanashtapachotam chantir arjuna me mucha yanam vijana mastikam ramakamasvavavajam. You will consciously cultivate those qualities. You see? That will put you in the mode of goodness where things become inconceivably sweet as you gradually progress along the pathway which transforms into pure goodness eventually. You have to control your mind, sama. Sama is like we say same in English. You see? In Sanskrit, samaha, sameness. That means I'm equal in happiness and distress. You see? How can you be equal in happiness and distress? Well, they're all the mercy of Krishna, you see. Krishna is the supreme orchestrator. Everything is happening under his guidance. So one has to learn how to take happiness and distress equally. Shama, and then Dhamma, controlling the senses. Tapa, austerity, Sauchan, cleanliness. If one develops these numerical qualities, honesty, having knowledge of the Supreme Absolute, applying that knowledge, if one applies the numerical qualities very nicely, then you become very solidly fixed in the mode of goodness, which gradually morphs into pure goodness as you continue to engage in Krishna consciousness. So any other questions? Okay. Can you share your time with any other devotee except Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnu Janamaharaj? How do you get inspired from them? Well, there's many devotees that I'm inspired by Aniruddha Prabhu. These kirtans are just someone, he's so full of, he's like unbelievable. I can just see his kirtans are firing up this whole community. He chants with so much feeling and intensity. I can see by the temple he's doing so nicely. His kirtans are so wonderful. There's an example. Aniruddha Prabhu. Another example I have is my dear godbrother, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. I served him as a brahmachari back in Atlanta many, many years ago. When I say his name, it's just like I go into ecstasy just saying, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He was so encouraging. He was the bhakti leader, and I was assisting him. And just seeing his wonderful mood of service. And he would work the airport doing books also, and sometimes his mind would become blown. He would say, when your mind gets blown, just sit down and read Prabhupada's books. And so he really had great faith. He still does. We still have a relationship. He has great faith in Prabhupada's teachings. Now he's the president, he lives in Atlanta, but he's the president of our Philadelphia temple because he's a very mature senior Vaishnava. But I remember, I never forgot, one of the greatest blessings he gave me was they needed a vice president in Houston. So our GVC, Balavanta Prabhu, he was the GVC of Atlanta and Houston. So they would send me over to Houston to be the vice president. And never mind the parting words from Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He said, Sankarshan Prabhu, you're moving on to bigger and better things. And I was thinking, what a blessing. Because that's actually Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means we're always moving on to bigger and better things. And Krishna consciousness is always expanding. It's always becoming sweeter, getting better and better and better and better and better. So, That devotee is a great inspiration to me. Oh, this is like back in 1976, he told me that. But those words have stuck with me for what, 40 years? That one thing he said, it stuck in my heart for 40 years. It was a great blessing for me in my spiritual life. And moving on to bigger and better things. And it's been true. Keep getting bigger and better all the time. That is Krishna consciousness, you see. So we have to learn how to appreciate devotees, our spiritual masters there, the God brothers. Another example is Shuddhakirti Prabhu. This is a really interesting one. I had a big problem as a young devotee that I was envious because some devotees got to be with Prabhupada a lot. And I wasn't. I was in serving in a remote corner of the world. Prabhupada said Gainesville was a remote corner of the world. I was serving in Gainesville, and they weren't sending me to, since I was a campus preacher, not collecting, they didn't send me to Mayapur. Of course, it was a lot of nature making devotees and causing the miracles, but still, I had this thing. I was envious of those devotees who got to be with Prabhupada. So, anyway, in Atlanta, Prabhupada's sitting on the Vyasa Sam, and I would get as close as I could, even just on the right side, I would get as close as I could because I had very rare opportunities. I was standing on Prabhupada's right side, and I looked over Prabhupada's lap, and there was Shuddhakirti Prabhu, the personal servant, my object of envy, right? The Prabhupada's personal servant is with him constantly. Ooh. I'm looking over Prabhupada's, and it's funny, I'm looking right over Prabhupada's lap. Shuddhakirti Prabhu. And he gave me the most beautiful smile. I couldn't believe it. The most loving, beautiful smile you could ever imagine. And I had this sensation that this Prabhupada was beaming this unlimited oceans of mercy out of his transcendental body, and it was bouncing off Shuddhakirti. He was like a mirror bouncing Prabhupada's mercy. It was bouncing off Shuddhakirti and flooding me. That I felt that Prabhupada was flooding, Shuddhakirti Prabhu was flooding me with Prabhupada's mercy. Just the way he looked at me with such a loving, sweet smile. I couldn't believe it. There's 300 devotees in the temple room, right? And he's just looking at me. We're looking at each other across Prabhupada's lap. It was so powerful experience. I never forgot that one also. And my whole attitude changed after that. I realized that this devotee is not proud.
Yeah, I'm a Prabhupada servant. You're just a scum. You don't get to be with Prabhupada.
It wasn't like that. He was actually in the mood of sharing the mercy that he was getting by being there with Prabhupada. He wanted to share it. He just wanted to share that mercy with me. And it was a wonderful, powerful, transforming moment in my life. That the day that Shuddhakirti looked at me with love across Prabhupada's lap. So there's many experiences that we can all have. You just got to keep your mind open. It could be any devotee. Just keep your eyes open for wonderful transformational experiences. You see, in classes or just one-on-ones, in all situations. You see, when out preaching, how Lord Chaitanya can cover for you in an incredibly difficult situation. You just got to keep yourself open to see the magic that's going to happen if you take this process seriously. So we'll go ahead and stop here, and we thank you all very, very much. I think this is my last words here for the morning class. Tomorrow we're heading out for Sydney and on to Santiago, Chile, and then on to Mendoza, Argentina, and Los Angeles, Toronto, and then back to Austin. We'll be back in June. To get more of the mercy of being with you all and get blessed by your Sangha. So we thank you very much for being working so nicely. Especially we're very thankful for Aniruddha Prabhu being such a dedicated leader of this kind here, doing such a superb job of inspiring and guiding the devotees along with his good wife. That's a great preaching team they are, and you're all very fortunate to have such leaders here. Please work cooperatively to serve nicely in their direction and have wonderful, loving relationships amongst yourselves. In this way, surely, very soon, you will see Krishna face to face. Bye to bye. Shiva Bhagavad Ki Jai.